Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Episode 160. And Bobby, thank you so much for being here today.
It was tough. Not going to lie.
Is this the first day
you've very difficult to drag myself out of bed?
Worn clothes after the Super Bowl loss? I know you didn't leave the house. The beard is really homeless looking.
How's the smell? Is the smell okay?
No. It's like carrots and throw up in here.
I offered to do this from home, but you insisted I come into the studio.
But you're surviving. How's the classes going? The therapy. It's a 12 step. What step are you on?
I will tell you, this has been rough. I've never gone this long without paying attention to sports media. I have been tuned out. We're recording on a Thursday.
Were you just waiting for the Olympics
to start? Since Sunday. Actually, okay, I've watched some Olympic coverage this evening. But aside from that, I've avoided Mike and Mike, Dan Patrick Show, any sports around the horn.
So you're really going to bring people up to date stuff today then?
Absolutely. Only bring in the cutting edge stuff from 5 weeks ago.
You know what? You got there. That's part of it. It was a great season. I know your team's going
to
be hit pretty hard by free agency.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I know what you guys are, what, fourth or something, or third last thing I picked as far as odds to make it to the Super Bowl.
Third. It's Seattle.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, and then Denver.
And then the Patriots,
right?
Yeah.
Patriots are the other team out of the AFC.
It was rough. We watched, you were with your...
The Chicago Bronco Nation.
Yes.
I was at the bar.
Yeah. Your wife and child mm-hmm. were here at my house.
Yep.
Watching.
Provided a safe haven for them.
Yes.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah. But, you know what? You got there. That's how you have to open a beer. You're ready to go. You're like, you know what? I'm putting this behind me. I'm opening a beer. So, Bobby, let's put this behind you, but let's quickly talk about our beer.
Yeah.
We're drinking New Glarus today. Two different ones. I'm drinking Moon Man Ale, a no-coast pale ale.
Yep. And I've got the Fat Squirrel Ale. Now, we've had New Glarus on in the past. It's always... The reason why we have it on is because it's so good.
So good.
But can you even get it outside of Wisconsin?
Well, we have a couple listeners that brought in beer to the studio. And they got it. They said they got it just south of the Wisconsin border.
So they have it.
Yes.
They just keep a tight lid on what environment
exactly
this beer's coming into. All right.
It's a matter of time before you can get it anywhere. It's so good. So good. But we are going to talk headlines. There's been a lot of things going on. We've been really focused on the NFL this season. And as our mantra goes, we talk, you know, not only just sports, but music, entertainment, and beer.
And beer.
So we're going to try to hit as many as we can with a rip from the headlines.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks where we're just hearing other people talk. Now it's a week where we get to talk.
You have to listen to us, folks. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Like 10 years and two more, and I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. All right, Bobby. It's time for Riff from the Headlines, and you're going to go first.
Oh, all right.
So
here we
got?
Go. Leno out after 22 years.
Yeah, he was out once, as everybody knows, the whole Conan.
He was. Oh, fascinating.
And he does not seem very pleased he's going out again. Definitely not on his own terms. Already sour grapes about it.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got like a million cars that he can just spend time with now. I would be kind of happy about that deal.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Jimmy Fallon's coming in, who the show is going to totally change. Now, I understand that Leno might have been a little hamstrung having to go with the, you know, Johnny Carson format.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to stretch, where Fallon blows that out of the water. He does his own thing. So
he's his own man.
Yeah.
He can bring in whatever he wants.
So what's Leno going to do next?
He still do his tour thing, and I bet you somebody gives him a deal where he can do like a talk show, maybe do more
like Larry King did after he left.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Do something like a cable channel, give him something that he can do, because obviously he's good at what he does and people love him, so you can get viewers. But he's got an older crowd. He's gonna have to do like a 5 o'clock talk show or like a 6 o'clock talk show.
No kidding. All right. Florida running back signed 3 letters of intent to different schools and faxed them out.
That's right. This happened. Did you see this, JD? Signing day is a big day for a lot of people.
I thought.
Yeah. So he sent out, so he signed and faxed letters of intent to play at Ole Miss, Utah, and East Mississippi Community College. And then not only did he fax them all out, where Ole Miss actually got the first one, and Ole Miss tweeted out that they'd signed him. DJ Law is this guy's name. But then he did a press conference where he had an Ole Miss hat and a Utah hat, did one of those, which hat am I going to pick? And he picked a Utah hat.
Okay.
And now it turns out it looks like he's going to be playing at the community college, East Mississippi Community College, because of academic reasons. So
I always get annoyed with that. Where they're going to go? Which hat?
Yeah.
I am old fashioned in the way of there's no big press conference for these things. They just happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a big show. I think LeBron set all this stuff up. I think it's horrible, but I think it's actually very funny. But
oh, yeah.
I'm signing. I'm going to a community college.
And didn't colleges learn anything from the Elvis Dumervil situation last year with fax machines? You can't trust a fax machine.
Who faxes?
I don't know. Apparently colleges still... Yeah, this guy does. All right, JD. Flea admits to not playing at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So everybody knows the Chili Peppers. And played with Bruno Mars. Folks, I have to tell you right now that we write these down on little pieces of paper and hand them to each other so we don't know what they are ahead of time.
Yeah.
Well, and Bobby reads his, and he gets this disgusted look as I start explaining about Flea, reaches over to my
to
sack,
the pile,
pulls one out, clearly had the same one, and then flips me the bird.
I got to flip you off because you got to it first. The Red Hot Chili Peppers were unplugged. The drums weren't mic'd.
Just vocals.
The instruments weren't plugged in, so they were just miming performing at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Evidently, that is required at the Super Bowl. They said. I find that hard to believe.
Does that mean Bruno Mars didn't actually play the drums when it started, or does that like?
See, exactly. Well, he had to play the drums, obviously, but. I don't know. To me, it seemed seemed weird, but it was one of these things where Flea said that, hey, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We wouldn't normally do this, but, hey, it's a Super Bowl. We did it.
So. In a venue like that, it's so hard to get the sound right. You've got so many different problems with your sound, getting the right monitor, worried about feedback. Why not have them? I know it's kind of hokey for a band to have to do that, but it's not that big of a deal. Everybody lip syncs at those things anyways. You can tell. So if we're not getting mad at people for lip syncing, why are we getting mad at people for unplugging?
Right. All right. Last one before our break. Twitter Plus 300 launched new venture to track trends in music. This I'm not aware of.
Yeah, this was pretty interesting. This was a news release a couple days ago. Twitter signed a deal with this company, 300, which is a music company, and they're going to be using Twitter now to track trends, basically track what bands are trending or what songs people are talking about in order to find new music and new bands and then get that information out.
Are they going to be using like hashtags with this to really do the tracking?
That's what they're probably going to use that. So if you're a new band and you're trying to get buzz, one of the ways that you can get buzz is on Twitter is with this venture. People will actually be tracking those buzzes that are coming out. If they're going to a local show and people had a great time at the show and are tweeting about it, that's a way to get your name heard by the muckety mucks up at the record label.
They want to get that 2% of the market share that MySpace has,
mm-hmm.
and capitalize on that. I get it. You know, Twitter is trying to get themselves as much money as they can.
Yeah.
Because of the IPO, they have to make money, and this is a way to get revenue. So I get it.
You kind of seem not like your I get it was kind of like, it's not that big of a thing.
It's not that big of a thing because, you know, formats are changing. MySpace changed pretty much only to artists.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook has some things like that. But, you know, when we sit down here a year from now, we're going to look at it very differently. Because Google Plus already incorporated all their music into Google Plus.
Yeah.
It's that whole Google, you know, Plus experience. You know, YouTube's done that. So there'll be something else. This will be a so what.
Okay.
I really think it will be a so what. And the thing is, I still don't think it's going to help the artists that much. They may get recognized, but they're still making less money.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a format where the artist gets a little bit more money and the label doesn't. But that's been a problem forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of music, Bobby,
what
I
need
to lead us off. Artist I've played a billion times on this podcast, but I really love his sound, Siebert Hoyam.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he has a new one out, I try to throw that up here. But the song's called Inner Vision. He said he was inspired by Nick Cave for this one. And you can definitely tell just with the melody and how just it feels a little bit darker. So give it a listen. Siebert Hoyam, Inner Vision.
Inner vision, I'm lost among the clouds. Old superstitions getting ugly, low and loud. I can't make no decisions. I rely on inner vision to show me the way within and without. I try my best to be as truthful as I can. Inner vision guides my head.
Excited for a new Siebert album to come out. I'm a big fan of his,
mm-hmm.
really, and his music has definitely progressed since
we
leaving
know.
Madrigal.
We know.
So we're still working to get him on the show.
Yeah.
We had it lined up once. It fell
Things
through.
Fell through with Siebert.
That happens sometimes with some artists.
It does.
But we'll try to get Siebert on again because I'd love to hear how he comes about his music. So anyway, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We forgot, JD, about
beer
our beer devotional.
Devotional. This one it's talking about is Sinister is the name of the beer.
All right.
It's a black ale, but the quote is from Oscar Wilde, and it says, "Work is the curse of the drinking classes."
Oh, there it is.
There it is. But it usually has a couple sentences of dropping some knowledge, some truth bombs on us, beer-wise.
All right.
But it just lists a number of ways to say you're drunk in English.
Okay.
All right? And I want you to come up with two more that aren't on this list. That's
okay.
A challenge for you, okay?
Two more? Okay.
Two more. All right. So here we go. Hammered. Keyed. Legless. Gassed. Fried. Bent. Pissed. S-H-I-T, faced,
mm-hmm.
potted, trashed, floored. I need two more.
Oh, smashed and tanked.
Yep. I thought that, I'm surprised those two weren't on here.
I could also come up with another one.
Yeah.
Three
sheets to the wind.
Canned.
Ah, yeah.
Ish canned.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton, but it's a start. It is a start.
All right, well, we need to jump back into the headlines, JD. Why don't you start off with what you got in that pile right there?
All right. You give me the smirk.
No, there's...
Folks, he there's replaced...
Nothing. No, I did replace one. I had to replace one.
He replaced one. As
it's
I,
not... Yeah, yeah.
By the way, can you explain what I'm opening my beer with?
You're opening the beer, a Rogue Yellow Snow Ale, with a ring. You have a ring. That's what I used to open the New Glarus. Yeah. I bummed your ring and opened it up.
It's a ring with a bottle opener. Big thanks to
pretty sharp,
David
buddy.
And Jim for sending that into the studio. All right. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg have a deal with AMC for a show.
That's right. Now, Seth and Evan, they're usually writing partners on all the stuff they do. They got a deal with AMC to do a show, and it's not what you think. It's not a comedy, but if you know them, you know they're into comic books big time, and it is a comic book drama. There's a comic book series called Preacher, and it centers around a reverend who is from Texas, and he learns that God has left heaven and abandoned his responsibilities, and so he is the only person capable of tracking God, and he does so with an ex and a friendly vampire. It's going to be a drama on AMC. AMC's done some great shows. So I think this will be something to watch. I mean, they did Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Hatfields and McCoys. They've done some phenomenal shows. So I wouldn't put anything past them. And I like Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I like their writing style, so...
It could be interesting. It really could
be really
interesting.
Good. And with the loss,
but they're not starring in it at all. They're just producing it.
They're just they're going to write the pilot, and they're going to be producing it.
Okay, cool.
Maybe they can sign Michael J. Fox because he's got no show now.
Wow,
so.
I saw that his show ended, but never saw it.
It was not very good. Grizz giving away fake neck tattoos.
Did you hear about this?
I did not.
So the Memphis Grizzlies are giving away neck tattoos to honor James Johnson.
All right.
So, and these aren't little tiny little, like a little bear cat thing.
This is a big old neck tattoo?
It is a big neck tattoo.
Oh, that's not messing around.
Across your neck. And
All the way across.
It says Grizzlies, but it's in honor of one of their newest surprises, James Johnson, a 5-year veteran, averaging 8.2 points per game, signed out of the D League, turned into a fan favorite already. And he's got some serious, serious neck tattoos.
Got some ink?
Yeah, he has Naaman 3913, name of his son, the day his son was born.
Okay.
But yeah, it's crazy. So they're giving the first 5,000 fans giant neck tattoos. That could be one of the worst giveaways I've ever heard it again.
I just don't know. I like temporary tattoos. They're funny, you know, to do that. But a neck tattoo, you're basically giving somebody work to do when they get home after the game. Because if you're going to work tomorrow or the next day, you don't want to have this temporary neck tattoo. So when you get home at night, you're going to be taking like rubbing alcohol or whatever gets those things off and just scrubbing the hell out of your neck. So then you're going to have a red neck. You're already from Memphis.
Wow.
So
apologies to all of our Memphis listeners.
I'm just saying they're already rednecks. Oh. So might as well.
Oh.
You don't want to live through that for real, do you?
You don't. But that isn't that crazy?
That's a weird giveaway.
It is.
And then they should trade him for that giveaway day. It's just like giving the bobblehead on the same day that the guy gets traded.
Yep.
That'd be hilarious if the guy got traded when they're giving away neck tattoos.
Makes the neck tattoos automatically collector's items.
There you go.
Rolling Stone ranks the top 50 SNL skits.
That's right.
And I didn't see the full 50, but I did see a Chris Farley skit was number one. Which one was it?
I live in a van down by the river.
I thought that would be the one. Yeah. I thought that would be the one.
That's a great skit. Like, you'd be hard to top that. But that's a good idea because there have been some amazing skits over the years. I don't know if I could really hammer it down to a top 10. But I Live in a Van Down by the River is number one.
Yeah, but it's so memorable.
Yeah.
And there's some, like, old school, you know, Rosanna Dana.
Yeah.
And the Two Wild and Crazy Guys, Caveman Lawyer. There have been some really good ones, but that one, he cracked everybody up every time.
And everybody in the entire, in that scene is laughing, too.
Oh, so good. So good.
All right, last one. Here we go. Prince Loves Pancakes.
So, those of you who stayed up and watched the entire Super Bowl and then watched New Girl afterwards, New Girl's a great show.
Yeah, really, really funny show.
Prince was on it as himself. Mm-hmm. I guess what happened, the story goes that he's a big fan of the show, called him up and said, I want to be on the show. He's like, oh, yeah, we can get your music on it. No. I want to be on the show. And if you haven't watched it, go and watch it on demand. I'm sure it's online, too. But he was creepy in it.
Oh, yeah.
An awesome way.
He was weird looking as Prince is weird looking, and yep. He was creepy, and he was perfect. He fit the sense of humor of that show.
Yeah. At one point, he's like, let's go have some pancakes. And she's eating pancakes. Oh, thank you, Prince. Finish your pancakes. She's like, oh, no, finish your pancakes. And so, and then there's this random butterfly that he has trained that comes and sits on his shoulder and follows him around. Really entertaining. Really entertaining.
How much, I bet you that pancake scene was improvised, and I bet you he was, like, serious about, hey, I made these pancakes, you're going to eat these pancakes.
From what I understand, that's a throwback to when Charles Murphy from the Chappelle Show. Did something with Prince and
played basketball. They played pickup basketball,
and then they went and ate pancakes.
Nice. So well done.
Yeah, it was very obscure throwback.
Yeah,
but very very well done. So.
All right, well, JD, I got some music for you this week, and this is a band I'm pretty excited about. I think they're going to be having a new album out in 2014, and I'm going to try to get these guys on the show. The band is called Matrimony, and this is off their EP called Montebello Drive. The song is called Golden City.
You've been making promises that you don't know how to keep. I'll be waiting for the time when you get what you gave me.
And you would tell me anything just to get me to believe. I don't know what you want from me, I'm just trying to get free.
You've been told it don't mean no thing to me. Why you always holding on? Go be who you want to be.
It started a little country-ish.
Yeah.
But it came around.
It came around for you?
I mean, I don't brush honestly, back I don't mind country music. I've played more country music in 160 episodes than you have.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was good. But Bobby, now it's time for a six-pack of questions.
I'm going to have you go. You get to end because it's been a while since you've gotten to end.
Wow.
So I'm going to let you do it.
All right.
I'm just going to step down for this one. But we need to start music.
And we're going to start it
now. JD, this is one I've been sitting on for a while. Vince Young, but I really needed to ask you this question because it's really come out about Vince Young's bankruptcy hearing lately. His bankruptcy hearing, and all the news is coming out about what he spent his money on.
Ridiculous.
Now, it was $34 million in his six NFL seasons that he made. And some of the things that he spent his money on was during his rookie year, he spent $5,000 a week at the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. That's not rock and roll. That's like the lamest. And like, you think a $5,000 NFL player, strip club, maybe that's where they're spending
making
the money
it
at.
Rain.
Or maybe at a bar. Nope. Cheesecake Factory. He once paid $6,000 at a TGI Fridays. Lamest stuff you can ever think of.
Yes.
If you had if you were making $34 million.
Right.
What is the one indulgence that you would have that you would probably look back and be embarrassed about?
Something I'd spend a lot of money on that I would be embarrassed about. Well, it's definitely not the Cheesecake Factory. I'm going to tell you that
much.
I would almost say electronics, but I wouldn't be embarrassed about those electronics.
You show those off.
I do, yeah. And people are going to come to the house. I'm going to fire up the video games. We're going to play some Madden. Maybe I would get some sort of exotic, bizarre animal. I'm trying to think of the animal that Archer has. It's like this cat thing. You just like a lemur. You just don't mess with. I would get a bizarre, rare animal just to roam around. I'm getting a three-toed sloth just to be in my home.
Hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
All right.
I don't know why a three-toed sloth.
I don't know either. You're stuck with it now.
I am. Bobby, I don't know if you got to see, but there is a famous quarterback who's back playing the game.
Okay.
He's got a Super Bowl
ring. I know who you're talking about now.
Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah,
the Pillsbury throw boy out of Kentucky. He's playing quarterback now. He is absolutely...
I think he's listed at like 320, but he's bigger than that.
He's bigger than that. There's only one player on his team that's larger than him.
Man.
But he's playing in the CIFL, and... it is ridiculous looking to watch him scramble.
Yeah.
So clearly this is a guy who should have given it up a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who else can you think of in sport that embarrassed themselves this much? Because this is bad. If you see him scamper, if you see Jared Lorenzen scamper, it is...
I will say...
And he'll scamper for a 3-yard pass.
Yeah,
those are the highlights.
But he can still outrun the defensive lineman. So that, I mean, for a big guy,
he actually
can outrun some of those guys.
But he just looks enormous.
Mm. You know who's always kind of, I felt bad for, but at the same time, I just want him to just stop, like, realize you're done. Jeff George. And I think he's finally done it, but still, every once in a while, you'll see him being like, hey, I'm 42, but this guy says I can still throw the ball really well. Or I'm going to be at this high school campus throwing this weekend if anybody wants to come out and see me. And you're like, nobody wants to see you, Jeff George, anymore. You're done, buddy. But it seems like quarterbacks are always those guys that can't walk away from the game. They got to be. Jamarcus Russell's been talking about a comeback. Jeff George is still waiting for a shot, JD. And you know what? Vikings have a quarterback position open. In England, JD... there was a upset about Manchester United. Manchester United lost, and a drunk fan called 999, which is their equivalent of 911, and asked if he could be connected with Sir Alex Ferguson, who is the former head coach of Manchester United. So he called 911 to complain about his team and ask if he could talk, if they could connect him with the old coach, so he could talk to them. I want to know, in your weakest state as a fan, what's the worst way you've ever complained or weirdest complaint you've ever lodged to either a friend, or you've called Taco Bell and said, hey, oh my gosh, can you believe that Gudger College did this to me? What is it?
I am very notorious, and I'll admit it. If my team loses... I've got every excuse in the book.
Yeah.
And it's not so much calling someone. I will find the most obscure stats known to mankind. And that's what I'm going to do.
You're going to hang your hat on those?
A few years back, Bears made the Super Bowl. with on the back of Kyle Orton, not Rex Grossman. Mm-hmm. Rex Grossman. I pulled out, I think I was pulling out high school stats from Southeast Polk High School in Iowa when he played in Altoona, Kyle Orton did, and how he should be much better than Grossman, and they're not going to win because Grossman's playing. That's my, I couldn't get any more passive aggressive.
Yeah.
That's what I do. It's horrible, I know, but that's what I do. Bobby, you mentioned you haven't watched any sports whatsoever since the Broncos lost.
I haven't.
I want to know, you're watching the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Safety happens.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize this is not our day?
Oh, I mean, when the start of the game, when Trindon Holiday ran the ball out of the end zone to the 14-yard line, I had a bad feeling at that point. Well, actually, at the coin toss where we lost the coin toss,
I was like... Did they have to do the coin toss twice?
They did, yeah. Which was weird. And I was like, ah, oh, this is, we're used to going on defense first, so I was a little nervous. And then he runs it out. I'm like, what? We're way too anxious. And then the safety happens, and you're just like, a calamity of errors is about to happen. That was where I got nervous. I didn't lose hope until it was 29-0. At 29-0, I pretty much was resigned to the fact that we were not going to win the game. Yeah. I still had hope at 22-0. I thought,
things happen.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, it's only three scores.
JD, we had Prince as a guest for New Girl. Fantastic get by them.
Right.
I want you to be their scheduler, and you have to plan their next guest star.
The next guest star
for New Girl.
For New Girl.
How are you going to top what they've done already?
Wow. I
mean, they brought in Coach. They've brought in Prince. Now what are you going to do?
You need to bring... you need to bring in Reggie Jackson and Brett Favre together. And this is why. Reggie Jackson needs to reprise his role from The Naked Gun. Might have been The Naked Gun 2.5. Or 22.5 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or he had the gun. He was going to shoot the queen. And then Brett Favre to reprise his role in Something About Mary. And I want the same acting abilities they had then.
Which was non-existent.
Non-existent. But to me, that would be hilarious because it would confound Nick Miller on the show, that character. But I do think there's no way you can top Prince.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's really hard to do.
It is. It's really hard to do. But, oh my God. Folks, if you do one thing this week, go back and watch that episode. It was absolutely fantastic.
Well executed.
Yes.
All right, your last question? You get to end it.
I'm not used to this role, Bobby.
I know.
But I will go. We've had incredible amounts of snow.
Yes.
But pitchers and catchers are reporting to spring training as we speak. What is the biggest storyline in the spring that you're going to be following in baseball? Because there's a lot going on. For my team, Twins have reloaded with pitching. Going to get out of that cellar.
You know, I'm looking for somebody to come out of Cubs camp as a surprise. And I know that's not a big thing for a lot of our listeners, but for me, I just want something to glob onto as a hope for, okay, this year, this is the guy that you're going to be able to watch break through. And they've got a lot of good prospects. They've had good prospects, but nobody's really panned out.
Sure.
You've had guys that have shown hope. You've had people that have regressed. So what's it going to be? What is the thing that gives your team hope this year? I need a prospect to show hope and make the squad in spring training.
All right.
That's what we got. When we come back, last call, one stop away, JD, that's going to have you feeling randy.
Ooh, all right.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, what do you got?
JD, Olympics are starting.
They are.
And one of the funniest things that I think, or more entertaining things about the Olympics, is the amount of sex that the Olympic athletes have.
I think every
oh yeah, time that, the Olympics I had comes to around. Look this up yep. for we were ready because I talked about this when they were in Canada. And sure enough, the reports out there are 100,000 condoms that were distributed to Sochi athletes.
So, how many athletes are we talking about?
The way it breaks down, there's 2,800 athletes. So it breaks down. Everybody gets 35 condoms to be used over 16 days. Yeah, but the record apparently was in London. The London Olympics were 150,000 free condoms for the athletes, but that had 10,800 athletes at the Summer Games.
Wow.
And that was an Olympic record. I don't know a world record, but that was an Olympic record. So we're at 100,000 to start off with right now, JD. But ESPN last year did a report about the Olympic Village being just a big sex fest.
Right.
And during that time, Hope Solo, the soccer player for the U.S. women's team, said that 70 to 75% of the Olympians were having sex in the village in their free time. So I guess that's a good thing if you've got, you know, 35 condoms to yourself.
You got to use them.
You got it. They're burning a hole in your pocket.
Except it's like,
what are you going to do with
them? It's like the foreign currency. You can't bring it back.
There you go. There you go. You're not going to take it with you.
Exactly. You got to use it. Well, Bobby, my last call one stop away kind of hits close to home. Because in Studio 714, especially after Enchilada Day, Bobby... there's a green fog going around.
There is a green fog, and I have to avoid. Oh, hey, now I have to avoid it most of the time from you.
Well, we need to start taking this more seriously.
Why is that?
Because a German, this happened in Germany, farm shed exploded. Methane gas from 90 flatulent cows exploded the German farm shed, damaging the roof, injuring one of the animals, police said. Now, high levels of gas had built up in the structure in the central German town of Rasdorf, which sounds fake. Mm-hmm. Then a static electric charge. So clearly one of the cows walking around with socks on a carpet, caused the gas to explode with flashes of flames, the force said in a statement. One cow was treated for burns, and a police spokesman said. But bright side, there's a wonderful barbecue.
So, what kind of... I've seen a lot of barns in my time. These Germans got to be less efficient with their barns, because there's always gaps. Got to let stuff leak out. You know? I've seen the wooden barns that we have here in America. There's some pretty rickety ones.
Sure.
Go with the rickety barn if you're storing your cattle in there. Don't go with the tightly sealed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get that gas out of there.
That's what we need. Rickety walls in Studio 714.
Yeah, I know. I need that.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's been a fun podcast. I was going to wrap it up there. I'm like, it's been a fun podcast. We kind of look at each other like, well, yep. What next? Thank you for listening. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter at @2beersin. Email the show 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye. When they turn out the light, I didn't know just what was going on when all my guts were...
I live in a...